heart beats faster and faster.
Ow, that hurt. Behind every man now alive stand 30 ghosts, for that is the ratio by which the dead outnumber the living. Arthur C. Clarke. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a dark and rainy night, and this is, once again, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
That's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where we certainly will not be getting any awards for our dramatic appearances, but that's okay, because we are not the Tony Awards. We are the show that just keeps on going, I guess.
I think I popped a stitch. Hey, gang, we are back live in studio, and we'll be in the G&D chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is your Ghost Man, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And that would put us smack dab in the middle of June 13th broadcast.
Well, yeah, it would. Well, we're not quite in the middle of the broadcast yet.
Not in the middle of the broadcast. In the middle of the day. End of the day.
End of the day. Beginning of the evening. End of the day. Beginning of the night.
Something in between.
Something in there. And the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and it's broadcast live on Absurd Radio and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio and the Black Vault Radio Network.
Tonight's guests, Nicole and Michael Kabrowski, guys, we've done it again, from the historic Indiana Ghost Walking Tours, joins us. We'll be searching the cornfields, back roads, and all the dark corners to find the phantoms, the spooks, and the walking dead that call the Hoosier State home only tonight and only on your G&D show.
That's right. And do you know why, Sean?
Why?
Because the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast. And it starts right now.
Ow!
Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal. And your host for tonight's show, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Yay!
You know, I asked Demon Bob to come on the show and be a guest. And you know what
you
he
did?
You know what he said?
He said, up yours or what?
He said we couldn't afford him.
That's true. It's true. We got him on retainer now, don't we?
Yeah, well, only for the opening.
He's like an attorney or a divorce attorney. He just wants the money. That's the only time. You know what? When I went through my divorce, the only time the attorney would talk to me is when I was bringing a check to his office. I swear to God. Every time I would call him for, information or whatever, he'd be like, his secretary would be like, well, he's not in right now. And I'd be like, well, I'm going to bring a check over today. Well, hold one second, Mr. Sean. So, yeah. There's attorneys for you. There's a special place in the fiery depths of hell for lawyers. Divorce lawyers, I tell you.
Well, you know, what's the joke? When the devil is sitting there and somebody gets sent to hell because they sold their soul, and the guy's complaining and the devil's going over the contract, and the man says, this isn't fair, I need an attorney. Is there an attorney in the house? And everybody raises their hand.
Everybody stands up, huh? That's a good. Hey, did you hear BP stopped the oil leak?
Did they stop the oil leak?
They did. They managed to put a huge wedding ring around it, and it stopped putting out.
Oh.
I'm kidding. I'm not making light of the oil leak. It's terrible, terrible thing. But I thought that was great.
Hey, a shout out to my buddy Robin De Jesus. Robin was up for it's not best supporting actor, but it's best supporting role. in a musical tonight on the Tonys. You remember he was on last year. He was up for it when we were broadcasting.
Yeah.
Last year he was up for another show. This year he's up for La Cage aux Folles. Unfortunately, I just watched just before we started. He did not get the award. They gave it to another show, which quite frankly, I felt Robin deserved it. But what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, I don't get to vote because I'm not an actor. Because
you're Lucifer.
Yes, I should have told him. You know, I could have bartered the deal with him for the award if he wanted it.
Well, you could have told him you were in theater too. You were in a way. Maybe not theater, but you were actor. You were a reality TV show host.
Well, I was also a lighting designer for theaters before I. Yeah. You know, but that does not get you the right to vote in the Tony Awards.
I farted backstage one time at Midsummer Dream or something like that. Does that count? Is that
Sean? If we counted all the places you passed gas, you would be allowed in anywhere.
The king of passing gas. What a week, man! What a week! I'm sitting here. I said ow before, guys. Don't ever try to laugh just days after your vasectomy. So if you guys were wondering, I know. Everybody out there was checking on me Friday, which wasn't a lot. Thanks a lot, listeners. But everybody forgot, I guess. But I was scared to death, man. Scared to death. So this is for all the guys out there. And ladies, if you're listening, you can tell your husbands or your boyfriends if they go in to get their vasectomy. When you go in, I was the only person in the waiting room, Demon Hunter.
Well,
I was
the only person there. You didn't have to be embarrassed, okay?
Right. Well, I was the only person there. And first of all, you know, I got there, I'm chewing my nails, and they had to go, they were all on lunch, so of course I had to wait. And then the lady comes back and she gives me a whole stack of this paperwork, and you know, you got about a billion questions you want to ask, and you're afraid to ask any of them, you know, like, what happens if, you know, you do this and I pee out of my nose, you know, you got all these questions. So I get there, I fill out all these things, you're waiting in the waiting room, my leg's going a mile a minute, but they gave me 2 Valium. And they said, come on back, Mr. Burris. And I went back to the waiting room, and they show you this video, man. Terrible video. Like, remember when we were all in health class? The only thing it was missing was the bouncing ball and, like, a talking scrotum. It would walk you through
there were two
the
bouncing,
video, man.
There were 2 bouncing balls.
Yeah, there was 2 testes, and you had to follow. Yeah, but the guy came out, and he goes, hello, my name's whatever. I thought it was going to be you for a minute. Hello, my name's Nathan Scudero from Stream Paranormal. And today we're going to walk through bisectomy and you. I mean, it was terrible, horrible. And
hi, this is Nathan Schoonover from Extreme Paranormal. Or no, how would it go? Hi, this is Nathan Schoonover. You might know me from such shows as Extreme Paranormal. But today we're going to be talking about your vasectomy and you.
And I have no nutsaka. But
now,
anyway, they...
Now, you
they,
may have become very attached to your scrotum over the years.
All that goes out the window in about 8 minutes. So anyway, they came in after the video. They say, crack the door. So I had to, I'm telling them play by play. So I cracked the door and the nurse comes back. It was a rather big nurse. She was she's like a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts or Chicago Bears or something. And she came back and she was like, Mr. Burris, are you ready to come back? You know? So I was like, oh, she loves her job. I guarantee it. So, she walked me back. Now, she was real cool. She walked me back, and she said, you know, drop trowel and put this little paper sheet over you. And
Kenny
so
Biddle wants to know if they shaved you.
No, I had to actually shave myself in the shower. Can you believe that? I don't think my health care will provide the shaving. I think you got to shave yourself. That's how cheap. Thanks, Obama. That's how bad health care is getting, man. Or Bush or whoever it was. But they won't even pay for them to shave you no more.
Let's not talk about Bush when we're talking about you or shaving yourself.
So I had to manscape myself. So I go back there and clean as a whistle. And you drop trowel and everything. And they put the sheet over you. Well, she comes in and she goes, okay, I'm going to pull the sheet on 3. 1, 2, 3. And she pulls the sheet. So there you are, right? Naked
in all your glory.
Yeah, there you are. And she goes, I'm going to clean you off. So they clean you off with this. There's no iodine. There's none of this. They clean you off with like this sponge that's in this package and it's got all this sterile stuff on it. And they wipe you down and man, it is cold. And I'm thinking the one thing all the guys across the world are thinking, please, no shrinkage. You know what I'm thinking? Please, please, God. They wipe you down with the ice cold swab, brother.
So you're just hoping that the doctor doesn't have allergies because it was a high pollen count. And you don't want him sneezing in the middle. You know,
yeah.
It's,
so she wipes me down and she puts this cover back over me that's got this hole cut out of it. Well, you can imagine what's sticking out through the hole. And so she goes, well, the doctor's away, Mr. Burris, at the hospital. He should be here. So I had to wait another 20 minutes. So I'm sitting back there twiddling my thumbs, and the volume starts to kick in. So at this point, I'm wah, wah, wee, wah. You know, I didn't really – it didn't matter to me what was going on. Aliens could have abducted me, and I would have been fine with it. But he came in, and he started talking to me, and I swear after 8 minutes – now, they rub a little little cream on there, kind of numbs you up, and they stick that needle in your boys, and it numbs them up pretty much right on the money. But they say you still feel pressure. We're on the left side.
Yeah.
I didn't feel much, but when they got to the right side, I felt like he had one of the boys in a vice grip, and I about came off the table. I was like, "Ooh, doc, that's killing me, man. That's hurting." And he was like, "I mean, it really wasn't that bad, but it was over in about 8 minutes." And he goes, "What a bing, what a bang, man. There you are, and I'm a baby maker no more."
Well, there you go. There you go. Hey,
that's it.
You know, interesting little tip for GOD fans and Extreme Paranormal fans tonight. Right after the show, if you turn to the Bio Network, Bio Channel, you will actually find Extreme Paranormal, the Pennhurst and Manchek Swamp episode on.
Oh, they're playing it tonight, huh?
Yep, at 11 o'clock. So thank goodness they're not playing it during our show, you know?
You know, we should have got royalties off that. We signed the wrong paperwork, man. We'd have been rich by now.
Yeah, for only two episodes, they're playing the heck out of our show.
Thanks, special thanks to Brian Lambert in the chat room. He said, "Luckily, it was already small, Sean." So I appreciate all the warm wishes from our listeners out there, guys. That's great. That's great. But I wanted to walk the guys through that because, you know, it was kind of a scary thing in my world. I think you guys look into that, and it's no big deal, guys. I'm healing up pretty good, and a little sore sitting on my bag of ice tonight, and doing this. And that's dedication, Demon Hunter.
That's dedication. Hey, the Tony Awards are on tonight, and you know, for me to do the show during the Tony Awards,
yeah,
it's kind of like you doing the show during the
any
Super
Colts
Bowl
game.
The Super Bowl, any Colts game. Yes, Sean, we doing a show this weekend? No, there's a Colts game on.
There's a Colts game going on, man. But yeah, I wanted to go walk the cemetery today because me and Stacy got good with that, walking the cemetery. But I didn't get out there today, just not walking too well yet. So, but I wanted to go out there and do that. But you know, we got some things coming up, Demon Hunter. I don't know if we should talk about them.
I think we could talk about the upcoming one.
Yeah, we got one thing coming up, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about tonight or wait until later. Or
no, we can talk about it. I mean, I'm putting in for the days tomorrow, so we can do it. And that would be another live broadcast.
We're going back under, guys. For you guys, we're going back in the darkness.
Uh-huh. That would be
broadcast
true.
Broadcast live. Where are they?
Broadcast live at the famous Whispers Estates.
Ding, ding, Whispers. We're going back in, guys.
You know,
we're
and it should
Brave
definitely be
house.
Definitely should be interesting. Going in, gonna bring all the gear out. I'm driving out again to Indiana.
Beautiful Indiana, yeah.
Beautiful Indiana, yeah. doing the 14-hour drive to get out there. So any luck? Well, you know, I might stop this time halfway through somewhere in Ohio or something, and get a night's sleep and then head up in the morning. But yeah, definitely going to be an interesting event. So Whispers
It always is. It always is when we go there.
And that's going to be, what's the date that's going to be, Sean?
Saturday, July 3rd is when we'll be broadcasting. I don't think we have a set time yet.
We don't have a set time yet. I've got to get time approved by Absurd Radio.
But rest assured, guys, we will go live that Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something changes, we'll let you guys know about it. I doubt we'll do it that Friday night. Usually Saturday night's the best night for it.
Yep, Saturday night. So it will be a Saturday broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. So Saturday, July 2nd, right?
Right. No, Saturday, July 3rd.
Third,
the 2nd
third.
Will be on a Friday.
Right, Saturday, July 3rd. It'll be a Saturday broadcast. We'll send out the announcements for it, as usual, but and I'll have it posted on the website. But
we need to do something different this year. We need to have... I wish there was a way we could have microphones set up through the house, but that would interfere with our broadcast. I mean, last year we had a lot of our listeners we had activity happen while we were on the air.
Yeah, we did. And one of the problems with setting microphones up around the house, not just the problem with it being, you know, picking up stuff while we're broadcasting and everything, but also that, you know, now I've got to run wires through the house, you know, so it could be challenging. So we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. Remember last year I brought all the gear to look for wires in the walls to make sure it wasn't recordings, you know, to prove that it wasn't in fact recordings.
It is. And special thanks to Van, the owner of Whispers Estate, and that's whispersestate.com, guys. He's allowing us to come back out. He loves the radio show, loves what me and Nate do for Whispers, have done for Whispers in the past. And the special thanks to him and the whole crew out there at Whispers for having us back out, guys. Thanks for inviting us and having us and letting us come out and broadcast. What a special place, man.
It is. It's an extremely special place. It's one of those places that you just can't get enough of. You know, it's going to be something special again, you know. And folks, if you weren't listening last year, it is up on the archives. You can go back and listen. You can hear the house was growling at us during the show.
It was it kind of, at first I thought it was like furniture moving. Remember that?
Yeah, we thought it was furniture, and then we thought it was maybe the furnace. So we went down and checked out the furnace, and the furnace wasn't even turned on. And we could not debunk it. And the night before, we actually heard the voice of the child. And it was funny because they had said it had never made those sounds before, and everybody blamed me.
Yeah.
You bring the demon hunter in and the house gets mad. Just go figure.
I was talking to Van yesterday on the telephone, and he said that he had one of the groups go out there this weekend, and they had picked up, they had got her, Rachel, of course, the ghost, or what they believed to be Rachel, a little girl giggling, again, very audible throughout the house, the footsteps running, and a lot of, it seems like the activity's gotten, I'm not going to say violent or worse, because it hasn't gotten violent, but a lot of people are being touched, a lot of vibrations, I guess, through the house. A lot of people feel like they're shaking and stuff, bed shaking, stuff like that. Some exorcist stuff going on, man. And it seems like it's gotten away from the little girl, little kid stuff, the innocent stuff, and more, hey, I got pushed, hey, I got shoved kind of stuff, you know? So it's going to be interesting.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, too, with it was, when like you said, we thought it might have been furniture and stuff like that. So we did a check and make sure that nobody was upstairs or anything like that. And we had every investigator either in our room or the room right next to us. And we had a rep with each group. So
we did.
It was definitely something to be examined. So definitely looking forward to doing that again.
Right, and I wish we had a webcam to go, because, guys, me and Nate has the lights turned down real low in the Victorian dining room at Whispers Estate. That's where we always do our broadcast from, because they have this real nice table set out there. And we turn the lights down low, and we actually try to get the ghosts to participate with the broadcast. And last year they did. Hopefully this year they're going to get a little bit more in tune and get a little bit more groovy, get jazzy with it.
Now, here's the question, Sean. Are we going to come up with some extreme paranormal stuff to try and bring out some activity?
I don't know. That'd be interesting. We haven't been back. Last time we were at Whispers Estate, A&E actually, or our producer had called us and said A&E was running with the show. Remember that?
Right, yep. And that was in October, wasn't it, of last year before last?
No, it was December, I believe.
December, the year before last. Yep. So it was.
I believe so, because you came down in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah, that was great.
We've had some terrible storms blow through Indiana. I mean, it's been bad. The tornadoes, everything. I got up this morning, trees were down everywhere on the power lines and stuff this morning. I had to go out and, well, I wasn't picking them up, but I was trying to my best to move them around a little bit. And it's been rough out here in the Midwest. A lot of tornadoes and stuff going on. So.
Yeah, well, it could be worse. You could be living in a trailer park, because you know those tornadoes hunt for trailer parks.
That's true. You could be, but I'm not. So, what's going on? Are you ready for the news?
I am ready for the news. Ready, willing, able, you name it.
Ready and willing, huh?
Yep.
Well, there you go. Guys, June 13th, the G&D Show news coming at you. Here it is. First up, Haunted Lady Gaga Ghostbuster. That's right. The famed pop singer Lady Gaga. I think she's a pop singer, right? Some kind of singer. don't know if it's pop or rock or what, but Lady Gaga admits that she bought a Ghostbuster kit. Gaga uses the Ghostbuster device for regular sweeps to fend off evil spirits that are haunting her. Gaga admits that the problem started a few weeks ago and is convinced that she needs the Ghostbuster kit to fight against negative forces. When I took the order from the kit, for the kit, I had no idea who it was, but then I checked the listings and saw who was paying for the O2 device. Her aide said the gear had to be robust as they were taking it on the road, so they must be doing this everywhere. Says the owner of the website that she bought it from. Gaga is performing. Ghostbuster firm owner Dan Webb said in a statement, the kit she bought includes electromagnetic field readers. Gaga 24 is terrified of bad energy and hired Dan Webb's firm to do a complete cleansing behind the stage at London's O2 Arena. Gaga originally thought she was experiencing a mental breakdown or hallucinations that usually come with schizophrenia. However, she is still convinced that the unseen forces are haunting her. If the reports are true, Gaga wouldn't be the first celebrity to admit ghost sightings. Several Hollywood legends have their own story to tell after experiencing similar paranormal activity. While the subject is always up for debate, the activity is still unexplained and why it happens in the first place. So there you go, guys. Lady Gaga, Ghostbuster, she's right there with us now.
Lady Gaga, just a little shout out to Lady Gaga here. Yeah. Lady Gaga, if you are looking for a team to go into places and like search for ghosts and, you know, cleanse the area, you know, don't go with like somebody who's, you know, just out for the money. Go with the Extreme Paranormal Team. Yeah.
Go with the trained professionals.
Yeah, we'll do it for you. We're ready to believe you.
We're ready to believe you. Yeah, we are. So I don't know, man. The celebrities seem to be getting more and more into the ghost stuff.
They
you know?
Do. It's they've got on Bio Network, on the Bio Channel now, they've got celebrity ghost stories. And
yeah,
it's you know, everybody seems to have their story. I mean, remember when we had Elvira on, and afterwards, after the show, she went, boy, I wish I'd had the chance to tell you guys about how the house I lived in that was haunted.
I know, we went, oh, both at the same time, because that's what we were going to talk to her about, remember? Yep, her agent said to stick to the show.
Yeah, her agent said to stick to the show, and to, and we were supposed to get a half hour, and we only got 15 minutes. So,
right.
Yes, we are Team Extreme. That's right, Brian, Team Extreme.
Team Extreme.
So, you know, if any of you out there know Lady Gaga, just tell her we're available.
That's right. And guys, when we go out to Whispers, man, we wish we could have all you listeners there with us. Unfortunately, there's only a limited space available for us and the crew to go out there and do this show. Van's being generous and letting us do it on a weekend that the house is actually closed to the public. So we're going to go out there, and the best we can do is bring it to you guys live. So that's right. Instead of being out there investigating Saturday night, me and Nathan go to you, and we let you investigate with us while we're broadcasting live on the air.
That's right.
That's the best we can do.
I wish we could do it video, but we do not have the setup to do a video broadcast. So
no, we don't. One of these days we'll get high tech. If anybody ever wants to sponsor us.
Lady Gaga, if you want to sponsor us, it's
Miller Lite, Bud Light, anything out there. But we got another story from the Gene D. Show vault. Comes out of the Telegraph from the UK. Cambodian jungle woman flees back to the wild. Have you heard about this, Demon Hunter?
I have not.
Okay. Cambodia's jungle woman, who spent 18 years living in a dense forest, has fled back to the wild after struggling to adapt to society.
Okay.
Her father, Sal Liu, a policeman, said that she had been making progress recently but disappeared on Tuesday evening. She took off her clothes and ran away from the house without saying a word to any of our family members, Mr. Liu said. It sounds like most of the girls I dated before.
Yeah.
You know. Just take off their clothes and run from the house. Even the day before she fled the house, she still helped the family pick vegetables. She must have gone back to the forest, and we still cannot find her.
Are you sure they run after they take their clothes off, Sean, and not when you take your clothes off?
The dramatic reappearance of the jungle girl has gripped Cambodia, where she is also known as the half-animal girl because of her hunched appearance. In fact, she makes animal noises. I've also had women do that, rather than speaking. Mr. Lau Liu blames his daughter's second disappearance on forest spirits. In a society shrouded in mystic beliefs. He has also enlisted a fortune teller to help with the search. He is saving up for an offering of one wild ox, one pig, one chicken, and four jugs of wine, which the mystic assures him will secure his daughter's return. The return of the jungle lady.
Okay, well, you know, so jungle folks, woman. if you want to donate to the Bring Back the Jungle Lady fund, Sean, we'll have to try and find a link for people to go to donate to that fund there.
You can check the story out, telegraph.co.uk, guys. The Cambodian jungle woman flees back to the wild. You can send your pigs in there if you got any. You can send your jugs of wine to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Studios. That's what we want to send those to.
Yep, it's definitely one of those things where you see something like this happen, and you know, this is a different culture. You look at it and you say, this can't be right. This can't be true. It can't be real. But then you got to remember, it's a different culture. So
it is craziness, man. But you know, we got the oil spill going on. We got everything happening right now, man. So you knew there was going to be somebody coming up. Apocalypse is here.
Okay.
Oil spill disaster means the apocalypse is here, folks. Okay, this is a snake handling prophet's prediction of doom. The shocking oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico is the second of three omens that foreshadowed the apocalypse, declares John Lee Workman, a renegade Pentecostal preacher who puts his life on the line every time he conducts one of his bizarre religious services. The first sign was the devastating earthquake that laid waste to the beleaguered island nation of Haiti. The third is a wildfire that will engulf the city of San Francisco. So keep your eye out for that, guys, because that'll be the final sign right before the apocalypse. Workman is a leading member of the Pentecostal Holiness Church, an outlaw denomination that claims 5,000 members in the Deep South. How did I know they were coming from the South, man? The core belief of the sect is that drinking poison and embracing deadly snakes, not a good idea, folks, in an eerie ritualistic dance confers spiritual gifts, including prophecy and healing by the laying of hands. Workman and his fellow believers claim snake handling is justified by verses 17 and 18 and 16, chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I'm sure it is. Well, I've never seen anything in the Bible where one of the disciples or anything was eating a snake or holding it or kissing it.
I don't even want to get into it, but I'm wondering if his idea of this apocalypse comes down to the aspect that one third of the fish in the sea will die.
I don't know.
That's one of his that's one of the prophecies. One third of the fish in the sea will die. One of the third of the birds of the air will die, and one third of the armies of the earth will die. So
break yourself, fool.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I went and watched the A-Team this week.
Did you? How was that?
It was good. If you are an A-Team fan of the 80s, I'm going to throw this out there right now. This is a prequel, but it is set in modern time.
Yeah.
So it is, you get to learn stuff like, why is BA afraid of flying? Because I always wondered, how is an army...
Don't start hassling decent people. I make it my business.
That's right. You know, and the guys who played the part were really cool in not trying to play the guys from the original TV series, but instead they played a bit younger characters who were, you could see them turning in to those characters in the series later on.
Right.
So it was a good show. It's not the A-Team from the 80s that we all grew up with, but it is definitely worth going to see. It's big, dumb fun is what it is. It is big, dumb fun, and I'd say if you were an A-Team fan, go check out the movie, because the guy who plays Murdoch gets a lot of the Murdoch characteristics down. The guy who plays Face, you can totally see him being Face. The guy who plays B.A., does a good job of being B.A., not Mr. T.
Right.
And Liam Neeson as Hannibal is a very interesting performance. I'll give it that. But
Liam Neeson is rolling in the dough right now.
He must be. He can take whatever role he wants now. You know,
it's crazy.
But it was big, dumb fun, and I enjoyed it.
Well, that's...
I'm bored and horny.
Right. That's good.
That's the way you are every night, Sean. But don't get horny tonight, because you'll pop a stitch.
That's true. That's true. But you know what? We got one more story from the vault. We got a little time, don't we?
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Oh, good. This comes from MyDessert.com. That's MyDessert.com. Prosecutor surprises witch with murder charge. You guys might have heard about this, guys. It happened June 11th, 2010. They just posted it out a couple days ago. A murder charge was filed Thursday against a woman, Demon Hunter, accused of luring an Apple Valley man to her boyfriend's Palm Springs, Florida condominium, where the victim was shot in a killing with satanic overtones. Kara Williams Covert, 38, her boyfriend Del Farquhar, drink up, guys, 48, was convicted on Tuesday of second-degree murder. During Farquhar's trial, Sterling said Williams Covert called herself a witch, and Farquhar identified himself as a true demon and a sociopath in a journal found in the condo. The prosecution alleged...
I'm having another drink.
Yeah, that the couple came to Palm Springs last October to write the horror script and commit mass murder. In the script, Farquhar played a character named Dave Hatcher, a transsexual in an open relationship with a witch named Kat. Sounds kinky. According to the prosecution, Williams Covert was playing the role of Kat, who was strung out on methamphetamine and lured men back to their condo for sex, Sterling alleged. Prosecutors believe Williams Covert was acting the script, saying she lured the unsuspecting victim back to the condo to his eventual death. Fisk, a motorcyclist who had recently separated from his wife, stopped in Palm Springs on his way to Arizona. Following the shooting, Williams Covert told police she saw Farquhar drag the victim's body to the front of a vacant condo and help clean up the bloodstains, according to the trial testimony. She also admitted to helping Farquhar dispose of Fisk's belongings in a desert lot about a mile from the condo, according to the prosecution. So there you go, guys. Prosecutor surprises witch with murder charge.
That is definitely something that when you hear about that happening, you're going to hear from a bunch of people who are in pagan groups saying, she's not a witch, you know, witches do this, witches do that. The term witch, guys, very open. I don't want people to be offended by that, but come on, she's a witch. She burn her!
Burn her at the stake!
She's got a wart.
We got another one, though, because we do radio. We love radio because we do it for free for going on 3.5 years now. Radio ghost mystery at former RAF station. I don't know if you'd call it a RAF station or just RAF. I don't know what that even stands for, but there you go, guys. It comes out of the Ethiopian Review, World News Digest. A 70-year-old radio at a Scottish Heritage Center has been picking up vintage broadcast featuring Winston Churchill. Now, hold on, guys. Wait for it. Featuring Winston Churchill and the music of Glenn Miller. The Pi Valve Wireless Montrose Air Station, I guess that's the name of the radio, at the Heritage Center, has no power and is not connected to any source of electricity.
Okay.
The aerodrome has been a source of paranormal sightings and sounds for almost a century, with reports of ghostly figures, eerie footsteps, and door handles turning. But the mysterious wireless broadcast have had even the most skeptical staff at the station searching for a rational explanation. Okay. There you go, skeptics. Kenny B, that's for you. Explain that, my friend. Explain that. Maybe it's battery operated. You know?
Hey, you know, it's one thing we've never gotten, even with our digital cameras, at Whispers Estate, is orbs.
That's true.
I'm wondering if it was because when remember when Jarrett was there, he was extremely clean. So I'm wondering if he kept all the dust away.
I don't know. Because the old house, you know, and the ventilation system and stuff like that, you're going to get a lot of dust coming out of those, you know, when the air kicks on and stuff like that. But you're right. You never see orbs in the pictures out there. And that's an old, old house.
I know. Maybe the lack of orbs is paranormal.
You know, here was a theory I had one time, you know, because I know orbs are crazy and most of them are nuts and, you know, it's dust and stuff like that. And you can't really say it's paranormal, even if you do think it's paranormal. But I thought at one time that a theory that you could maybe wrap your head around is that the spirits of the dead possibly have some kind of electrostatic energy to them or something like that that causes these dust particles to stick to them or stick to their beings, their etheric body, if you will. And I always thought that might be something. I know most of it's dust and stuff, but, you know, sometimes people will get orbs and the weirdest stuff, you know, and it look really weird. And you know, sometimes you just got to think, maybe there's more to it than meets the eye sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. It's
most often not, I'm sure, but you never know.
It's one of those things where, you know, I'm certainly not going to say that there's that orbs are ghosts. Because we, for one, we've been in the Just Say No to Orbs tour, so we can't see that. But two, you know, it doesn't make sense. That you would get them with digital cameras and not with good film cameras. So, yeah, chances are, folks, you know, like I said, when people bring me up pictures of orbs, I have to tell them I tell them it's interesting. Ask them the kind of camera they use. Tell them they should go back to that location and use a good camera. So,
right. I remember when I first started ghost hunting, man, and I first went out there, people were like, look at this. And I'm like, wow, is it really that easy to catch ghosts? I mean, my goodness.
Well, I remember ticking John Zaffis off one day because he took us to a cemetery, and I kept asking him to explain an orb to me. And yeah, it was a cemetery near a highway, and I came up, every picture had like 10 orbs in it. So I sent him a file called Orb City, and, you know, I asked him, you know, explain to me an orb, because when I used to use a 35mm camera, I never got orbs. So
right,
it just got too expensive to develop the film. Hey, I wanted to throw out there, too, for people who listened to last week's show. I had mentioned a series of book called The Outlanders by James Exler. I've actually posted the website on it in the G&D forums under last week's show. It's www.jamesaxler.com. It's a fictional sci-fi series regarding aliens, which are very similar to the theories that our guest had last week. So,
crazy theories, man. Yeah. That was a crazy show.
It was a great show. You know, it was classic G&D, you know.
Half the listeners didn't know what the heck we was talking about.
I didn't know what the heck we were talking about, but that's what makes it great. But if you want to check it out, the link is on the forums under last week's show. It's www.jamesaxler.com. If you're interested in sci-fi, alien, Nazi kind of stories, there you go. So,
you know, here's a quick fact for you guys. Out of all the paranormal TV shows out there, every one of them, in at least one episode, has dealt with the orb issue. They've either witnessed an orb or thought it was a ghost or had to disprove it as a ghost. In Extreme Paranormal, a little show that was on A&E, not one orb was presented at any time for review or otherwise. Quick fact.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. That's not true.
We never had any orbs in our...
We didn't have orbs in our show. That's true. We in fact, we specifically told the producers we would not do anything with orbs. So.
Right. And that's when people came after us saying, well, your guys' stuff's fake.
Yeah, well, you know, and the funny thing is, if you had actually seen when we sat down before we filmed, all the things we told the producers we would not do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, and I remember people saying, you know, oh, it's so scripted. Well, it wasn't scripted. It was just, you have to explain everything as you do it on air. And for the first couple of episodes, it took us a while to get used to that.
Yeah, and as soon as we got used to it, we were done.
Yeah, well, we're not done. We'll be back.
We'll be back. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? You never know. But, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. But that was a quick fact. We never did present orbs on the show and say, oh, my gosh, did you see that orb? Or I think this is a ghost. Look at this orb.
Although I do think it's hysterical because originally I was supposed to be the one buried alive. And then Jason winds up being the one buried alive. So we buried the one guy who was trained to use the thermal imaging camera.
Yeah, and left me to use it.
And then we're like, okay, yeah. Well, I see different colors. What do you think that means?
I tell you what, the one place that spooked me was when we were out, like, a bunch of places that spooked me, especially when we went underwater and got that EVP underwater, which was the first time I've ever seen a paranormal show do that. But when we went to the prison, for one, that was spooky, man, because you had to remember we had to go through the bathroom. We were all the way up on the cell block 13 or whatever, where all that bad stuff happened, and you had to go through that prison with no electricity, and they had little lanterns to guide you. And you heard all these terrible stories and the things that happened there, and you had to walk like a half mile from where we were filming back to the toilets. You know what I mean? Remember that, Nate?
And I told you last week that somebody had contacted me and said if you freeze frame the shadow figure, they actually saw faces in the shadow figure. Now, maybe it's matrixing or what. I haven't gotten the chance to watch it. And that won't be the episode that's on tonight at 11 o'clock, folks. That's we're going to do the Manchek Swamp and the Penhurst Asylum tonight. But
there you go.
But Penhurst.
And Penhurst was another one.
Penhurst left me a little nervous.
Yeah, that was a spooky place, man.
You know, it was I think I was more nervous of the fact that when we got done running around in those tunnels, afterwards they told us, oh, man, we should have warned you about the asbestos.
Yeah, but, and then you see all these mesothelioma commercials and stuff.
Yeah, it was like every commercial that came on after that show was a mesothelioma commercial. I was like, God.
These guys are dead. I don't know, man. Good times, though. Good times. So we got a crazy show tonight, though.
We do.
They started this historic Indiana ghost walking tours. I have not yet been on it. Can't wait to do it, though. I guess they got them all over town. We'll have to talk to them about it. But, you know, this town or this state, and Nate, you've been here, it's just made. And I know, you know, a lot of places are made, got their own spooky places. But here in Indiana, you just got a kind of a mystical sense to everything. It's just the cornfields, and these huge cemeteries, and it's made for full moons and black cats and the boogeyman. You know what I mean? I love this state sometimes. So not when I'm paying state tax and stuff like that, but you know, when I'm doing ghost stuff, I love the state because it's just you have a lot of good ghost stories here, as do is every state. But I can't wait to hear what they got for us tonight.
That's true. That's true. Hey, do you want to take a break? And when we come back, we'll have our guests.
Let's do it.
Hey, folks, we're actually running on time tonight. So something is sure to go wrong. So stick around.
Stick around, guys. Up next, we got the song Kill. Was it Kill Your Kind?
Kill Your Kind.
By the band Until We Sleep, guys. Check it out.
Of course, when we wrote that down, we might have reversed it. So listen to the song. It might be the wrong way.
It'll play in reverse, like satanic stuff.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
Okay. The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
DarkerSide currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Hey, this is Josh Hawley from Tombstone Ghost Hunters. Don't forget to listen to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, and don't forget to read Tombstone's Most Haunted.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
Bum, 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 bum. I like that song. I really do. That song, by the way, folks, is... that song is...
It's a beep.
I guess I was beeped without even knowing it. And I control the beep button. What the heck is going on there?
I don't know. You're beeping yourself on our own show.
So, Sean, did you like tonight's song? Because I don't usually pick out the music.
I did good. That was a hard-hitting, smash-mouth song. I like that band. Until We Sleep, Kill Your Kind was the name of the song. The band was Until We Sleep. I liked it. You got that off of...
GarageBand.com.
GarageBand.com. We love GarageBand. They've been more than helpful. The band's on there. We get one every week, and we profile it here on the show for you guys to listen to.
And by the way, that song, that re-entry music is, of course, from Soul Dog. You can find them at GuitarViking.com, Revron and Friends. And that song is Heathen and Hooligans. So, oh, man, I had to run downstairs and get myself another drink because with all that those mistakes you and I made in the news, I went through the last drink. Not that we drink on this show. We would never do that.
Well, you wouldn't. But you know what? Tonight's a very special show for me and for Nate, but especially for me because I'm a Hoosier child, born and raised, and proud of it. And tonight, we get to check out the haunted back roads and cornfields of one of the greatest states in the Union,
and
Indiana.
Having driven to Indiana, I can say, a lot of cornfields.
There's more than corn in Indiana. I can't say that, though, because Indiana Beach uses that. So there's not just corn in Indiana. I can do that. See, I can mess it up. See, there's ghosts in Indiana, too. See, but tonight's guest, we got very special guest. And Hoosier, I can't say natives because they're going to tell us all about that. I read on their website. But we have Nicole and Michael Kabrowski from the Historic Indiana Ghost Walks and Tours. Mike, Nicole, how you doing tonight?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing good here.
Oh, I'm feeling better now that I went down and got a drink. No, I'm kidding, guys.
I'm feeling
He's
real.
An alcoholic?
You guys
had
a... I know.
No, no, I don't go to meetings. I never go to meetings.
But we were talking about my surgery. It's been a very busy week. I had my vasectomy on Friday. We were talking about that, guys. Al, and you guys were having a very busy week. Thanks for coming on at the last minute. And what were you guys doing? Were you doing the tours this week, or did you get away, or was it something private, or what?
Wow.
Was it a Vegas trip for adults?
Today. And yesterday we went to see Night Ranger in Wabash.
Okay.
See, I'm more of a I'm more of a Knight Rider guy on late night TV, so it's
Yeah.
Nicole, I thought you were gonna say what happens in Indiana stays in Indiana. That's what
well,
I think.
It does, doesn't it?
Not on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
No, we get it out everywhere.
Obviously TMI there, but anyway.
But you know what? I've been on
vasectomy.
Yeah, I got it on Friday. I'm a proud man now. I got three beautiful kids, and I'm done. Three and out, everybody. Thank you. Woo!
Woo!
That's right.
Three strikes, he's out.
I'm not paying for any more colleges. None. But,
hey, yeah, Sean, I forgot to throw out there, by the way, tonight, my cigar of the evening, a Tarano Veritosa. From Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut.
I think I'm gonna.
No, it's a great cigar. It's a great cigar.
Yeah, that's a great cigar. That's a great cigar. But you know what, Nathan, you and I have been on ghost tours around the country. We've been on all kinds of different ghost tours. We've read all kinds of different books. We've been everywhere, but I have not been on a ghost tour yet in my own hometown, state of Indiana.
Quick little story I want to throw out there before we start talking about ghost tours in Indiana. I had the choice one night of going on a ghost tour in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Or drinking with Jason Hawes from Taps.
So you went on the ghost tour.
I went on the ghost tour.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Good choice.
But unfortunately, it was a walking tour.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a walking tour, and as we all know, I have trouble walking long distances, so it was a hard night. But given the choice, that's what I chose to do.
I'm with you this weekend. I can't even walk across the room. It was hard enough to get down here to the studio tonight.
Oh, guys, you should have seen, and this is to our guests here, when we were filming the TV show, I actually walk with a cane half the time, and they wouldn't let me use the cane on set. So the different leg braces they strapped me into so that I could stand up while we were filming.
Ow.
Wow.
It was something.
I'm not wearing any underwear.
Yes. Right. Half the time I couldn't because the brace went too high.
Yeah. I know. But it was crazy because, like I said before, I've never been on a haunted tour, and I hope to put one in this year. And I want these guys to take me on my first haunted tour around the state of Indiana. And Mike, Nicole, I want you guys to tell us all about it. How did you start the historic Indiana ghost walks and tours?
We've been avid paranormal folks for years and years, and we really just wanted to bring ghosts to Indiana. At the time, there weren't the glut of TV shows that there are now.
Yes.
You know, people were kind of skulking around saying, ooh, I belong to a paranormal group, but I don't want anybody to know because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And we were like, well, whatever. We've got history. We've got ghosts. And why can't we do something like they do in Savannah or, you know, any other town that's got a ghost tour? Why can't we do something like that here? And so, you know, we've had a ball with it. You know, we're going on our, 10th year? And
nice.
It's been great.
Now, you guys are out of, what town is that?
We live in Westfield.
Okay.
Michael's an import from Germany, though.
Okay.
Well, good for you, Michael. Good for you. I was just saying tonight, I didn't understand why, like, one show could come on and do, like, a native dance from a country, and that made it, like, cultural, But if I goose step, I'm a Nazi. It's a bad thing.
You should have been in town last week, Mike Nicole, because I went to German Park here in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, and I went to Summerfest out there, and I had some good German beer. I couldn't pronounce the name, but it was good, and it did it did what it was supposed to. And I danced to some German, Nathan said it's not polka music, so whatever the German music is, traditional German music. Had a good time. It was a good night.
I forgot to check that. What is German music called? It's not polka.
Well, we do the polka too, but folk music is basically kinds from different region. Every other town has their own stuff.
But you know that scene in National Lampoon's European Vacation where they're doing that whole slapping on their legs and everything?
Yeah.
They do
that. Oh, you said, I got to write that down now so I know to bleep that out. Hold on. I didn't catch it.
What, right. National Lampoon's?
Yeah, just before that. That's okay.
I like that. I like that National Lampoon's when they were doing the leg slaps and everything. That was good. That was a good show.
But that's not, you know, the kind of, that's kind of like folk music, but they made it look polka. They did.
Mm. Well, I want to hear, because a lot of people, they smirk when they say you're from Indiana and you talk about ghosts and you got ghost stories. Well, I'm from New Orleans and you used to hear about, but we got some great stories out here. Can you guys share some of the stories and some of the experiences you've had on it? Let's start with the stories and then we'll go with the live experiences. What do you think?
Well, absolutely fine. Some of the ghost stories we've gotten are from our experiences. I mean, everybody has heard of the Hanna House in Indy. That's a really great. There's been a lot of different things that have happened there. I found an old book from the 1980s that had a story. It was like the 10 creepiest places or something like that. And it was a whole, there was a big story in there about the Hanna House. And I mean, this is before it actually got popular, the whole ghost thing. And boy, there have just been way too many things. You could spend, you know, hours and hours on the Hanna House.
I live three blocks from there, Nicole and Mike.
So you're very familiar with it.
Yeah, I am. I grew up around it. We used to go out back when it used to be an antique store when I was a kid. On Halloween, we would dare each other to go up and knock on the door, and the old lady that ran the antique shop would run us off. She was mean as sin, man, and she would run us out of. But, yeah, we'd go up there and do that all the time. So
what
I grew up
Sean doesn't know is there wasn't an old lady running that antique store. It was the ghost of Hanna House. It was.
You know, Michael and I, we went out when we started our tours. We went out to the Hanna House because we wanted to go through and we wanted to do an investigation. At the time, they weren't really that willing to do it.
Right.
But we talked with the guy who was managing the place at the time. I don't remember his name, but there was this older man that lived in an apartment in that house, and I don't know if he still lives there or not. I don't think he does, but he came out and he said, you know what, we have this whole book full of experiences that have happened in this house, and you know, everything from, you know, the rotted smells to the people that have been seen, and you know, all of the different creaks and bumps and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, you know, well, we've got this book, and there are truly some strange things that happen in the house. And he was a truly strange bird, too. He was
a strange cat, huh?
Oh, my God, yes. It
Give us
like
his name. He belongs on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. It's
Yes. But other places around Indiana, that Whispers Estate is becoming quite the new haunted place to be.
Well, you have did hear our earlier thing that we are actually going to do a live broadcast from there next month.
This will be our second.
Fantastic. I recently friended Whispers Estate on Facebook, so I've been kind of getting caught up on that. But for me and for Michael, we've just had some really neat experiences when we've gone and investigated places, everything from private houses to cemeteries to just buildings, and it's amazing. I get the same reaction sometimes. People kind of turn up their nose when you say, oh, well, Indiana and ghosts, whoop-de-doo, and New Orleans is where it's at, or Savannah's where it's at, and it's like, well, no, they're all around us. That's where it's at.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely, and that's why I applaud you guys for starting the Historic Indiana Ghost Walking Tours, guys, because you were definitely one of the first, And God bless the storyteller, because that's what got me when I was a kid. The stories about ghosts, that's what still gets me. I love to hear the good stories first. Even when a client's telling me what's going on in their house, the passion for the story, I love it. And I think we've lost touch with that as investigators. We've gotten away from the story, and that's what started us out enjoying this stuff.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because, I mean, you can go in there with whatever equipment you want to take in, and you can say, yeah, I found this or that. But it's the story behind it that's the real kicker. I mean, when there are people on our tours, especially teenagers and kids, because they're some of the hardest people to please, when I see that, you know, they're saying, oh, I don't believe in ghosts, and by the end of the tour, their parents are coming to us and saying, well, they're going to sleep with their light on tonight, or they're going to be in with me tonight, I think that's fantastic.
It is. It is. I'm actually always wanted to get a part-time gig or something doing those ghost tours. I've always I actually wanted to start something here on the south side of Indy. I was wanting to write a book at one time, and I just never got around to it. We had the TV show came up for a little while, and then my daughter was born, and blah, 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 and everything went on. But I do. My hat's off to you guys, because I love doing those tours. And I know you guys get to experience stuff while you're working. I know that people come to you and they tell you what they've experienced. What's some of the experiences that you've had on these tours?
On our Chilling Chatham Arch tour that's down in the Chatham Arch and Massachusetts Avenue area, the Lockerbie area as well, sure. We've had people, there's an old church at St. Joe's Church, and We've been able to go inside. The owner kind of wants to make it into apartments for people on, like, the Colts level of the pay scale.
Oh, yeah.
But we were able to go inside and have a look around. There are beautiful paintings, like, from minor Italian painters on the ceiling in there that he's hoping to keep. But we've had people tell us that they've, quote, found their way into this church, which we don't necessarily advocate, finding your way into any place uninvited. But we were talking about when we first started the tours, I was really curious. Michael and I are both obviously into history, and I said, you know, I want to call the realtor and see what the deal is with this. And so I called the realtor and asked how much they wanted for it. At one time, I think they wanted like $1 or $1.5 million for it or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like, well, that's, you know, way out of my pay range. But I, you know, I was talking with him, and I said, well, you know, have you ever heard anything going on in there? And the realtor said, you know what? I was in there one day, and I had taken a client in, and the client had looked around on the inside, was taking a look around on the outside, and I thought that I'd seen, you know, someone or something in there. And, you know, he thought maybe it was a infestation or something like that. And he went over to this one corner, started looking around, didn't find anything, and kind of, he was stooped over, and he kind of raised up, and he came face-to-face with a priest, and he immediately knew that the priest was, you know, not of this world. He had black pits for eyes. He was mumbling, but no sound was coming out, and the realtor said, you know, I don't know how long I stood there. He knew that I was there. I took a step back. He came a step forward, and he said, I have had some cold winters in Indiana, but boy, when he walked through me, that was the coldest thing I have ever felt in my life. And
nice.
He said, I do not know how long I was there, but the client finally came back in and said, hey, I'm ready to go. And he said, from that point on, I've never stayed in that church by myself.
Well, you guys, I'm sure you've heard of the theory that ghosts feed on electricity.
Sure.
And one of the things Sean and I and Jason had tried to attempt to do was charge a room with electricity, but what we decided to do in a situation like you're talking about was to actually fill the room with saline as well, because saline carries electricity better than water or air. And we had that whole feeling of our hair standing up on end, but we couldn't tell whether or not it was just us getting colder or the fact that we had just, like, electrocuted ourselves. So it was, so we are, you know,
we were now the ghost.
We were now the ghost. Yes. But definitely, you know, do you ever try anything to draw these ghosts out when you go to areas?
We haven't done anything, you know, quite as elaborate as that.
Oh, nobody's as stupid as we are. No, it's,
when we've gone out to different places, I know some people poo-poo them, but we've used dowsing rods before, and yeah. we've actually had conversations with, you know, supposed entities there, and they've verified things. We've asked yes, no questions. We've done some research in the history books, and it's come up to be true.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's unscientific. Well, okay, yeah. Well, dowsing rods have been around for a long time, and they've been used for a lot of things. And, you know, we're using equipment that's not necessarily built for ghost hunting because, you know, none of it's really been validated. So why not try something else out?
You know? Scientific, schmientific. Everybody that says scientific, that's what really got me, because the first time I seen a ghost, or what I believe was a ghost or an apparition, all my gear and everything hit the floor. It happened so fast. I mean, I had recorders, I had EMF meters, and I didn't look at one gauge, not one reading. My EVP, my recorder wasn't going, and this thing walked right in front of me and walked right past me, and nothing was going on. And anybody out there that's done this long enough to know, when you see something, 9 out of 10 times, you're not even ready for it. So you really got, as a ghost hunter, I think, and you guys may agree or may not, you really got to enjoy the story and enjoy just being there at these places.
Absolutely. There's a couple of stories that come to mind. One is very, very recent, and the other one was actually my first encounter with a spirit. But we were recently out at the old Thorntown Cemetery, and we were just looking around and everything and just taking some pictures. And, you know, it was broad daylight, and there was a family grave. There were a couple there that have wrought iron fences around them, and I made a comment because one was pretty rusty, but, you know, a piece had fallen off, and I said, oh, wouldn't that look nice, you know, if I took it home and put it on my wall, which I would never do. That's unauthorized cemetery cleanup and stealing, so I won't do that. But, yeah. You know, I was
It still looked cool.
It. And I was walking, you know, on this path, and I felt someone push my back, and simultaneously there was something in front of my ankle, and it tripped me right after I said that. And it was loud enough. I made a noise loud enough. Michael turned around and he goes, what are you doing? And I said, something pushed me. And so he's clicking pictures. And we didn't get anything. But I am just, the look on my face is just like incredulous. I'm just like, wow, what the heck just happened?
A true ghost hunter. His wife goes, something just threw me on the ground. Hold on, honey. Let me get a picture of that.
Truly Dan Aykroyd. Actual physical contact.
Wow.
My old lady got thrown down the stairs. Hold on, honey. I'm going to get the camcorder.
As fond as I am of Dan Aykroyd bringing us Ghostbusters, I am more fond of him for bringing us Crystal Head Vodka. So it's...
That looks pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. It's tasty. It's one of the official vodka of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. So it's...
Now, did you guys start out, Nicole, Mike, did you guys start out in a ghost group?
No, we didn't. I lived in Germany for 5 years and then finally imported Michael over. And when we started the business, we really didn't want, we've had a lot of people ask us to start a group. We didn't want to be a part of a group simply because there's a lot of drama that goes on in groups.
Yeah. I just have to ask, what kind of duty did they make you pay to import him?
I'll be a physical, my firstborn.
There you go.
Yeah, they really put him through the ringer when he was brought over here. But it was a lot easier for him since we've been married so long. So, yeah, and then when he took his naturalization test, all he had to do was say one sentence in English and...
Write one down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing too hard.
And then he answered 10 history questions.
There you go. So. What's that? What was that one movie I was watching? I love Clark Gable, American. Clark Gable, American. I love Matt Damon. Yeah, it's but you know the whole thing about the ghost groups. You're right. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of stuff that you can get caught up in. But you guys starting the tours and everything. Now, when I was with the ghost group, that's what got me into doing the tours. When I was with one, every October I would do a ghost tour that I put together of Haunted Highland Lawn Cemetery in Terre Haute, Indiana. Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah, Stiffy Green, the legend of Stiffy Green, the old man and his bulldog dog, his ghost of his bulldog and him. And I would walk him around the cemetery, and I would go up to each tomb, and I would tell him the stories. And it was just great. I mean, the leaves were falling. The air was crisp. You know, it was just perfect time for ghost stories. So you guys got to love what you do. You got to love it, right?
Oh, my God, yes. And you described it to a T, especially in the fall. I mean, there are just days when you know that it's going to be good. You know, something's going to happen, or it's just going to be a really, really good tour. And, you know, we do. We love it. It's amazing. We meet amazing people. We make amazing contacts. And, you know, I want to clarify that even though we're not part of a group or anything, we do have ties to a lot of groups. And if we can't, or we don't have time to do an investigation, we do work with other people in the community, in the paranormal community, that that can handle the things that, you know, we come across that, you know, when someone needs help and we just don't, you know, have the time, or maybe they're not close enough for us to get there or something like that. And, sure, you know, even though we came up with these tours and everything, there were a lot of paranormal groups here before we started, and I think all of us together have just done a really good job of bringing the paranormal out.
I think so. Now, you guys got, I was looking at your Facebook page. You guys have tours in Indianapolis and what other places?
We have them in, we have two walking tours in Indy, two bus tours in Indy. We have two walking tours in Westfield, two Hamilton County bus tours, Madison County bus tour. that's over by Anderson for anybody who doesn't know. And
right on the river, guys. Beautiful town.
Huh?
It's right on the river. Beautiful place. Madison?
No, not Madison. Madison County.
Oh, Madison County. Okay.
Anderson.
Okay.
We thought about doing one in Madison. Madison is great, but they already have, well, at least at one time, I'm not sure if she's still doing them or not, but they did have a really good tour down there.
How do you guys run all over the state and do these tours, or do you have other people that do them with you?
We do the majority of them ourselves. But we do, from time to time, we have worked with some storytellers in the past. We found, though, overall, that even though they're great storytellers, there's nobody as passionate about the paranormal as people who are truly into the paranormal.
Sure, sure. So, and you got to love it. So how does how does one tour work? Do you guys have a shop or something like that that everybody meets at usually, or a place, and they go from there?
No, we started a virtual business that was difficult for people to grasp in the very beginning. It's like, well, where's your shop? It's like, no, we don't have a shop. It's really online. We do everything online or via phone. People can go to our website, unseenpress.com, and they can look at our schedule of tours. They can book a private tour. We can customize any of our tours or make a custom tour for people. And then they can buy tickets through our online store.
And then you just tell them to meet you at a certain place, or?
Yep. And then we send them a confirmation for their tickets, and then we end up giving them the directions where to be.
Okay. Now, where do you guys usually meet here in Indianapolis, since I'm so close and you guys do the tours and everything?
A Haunted Indianapolis tour meets at the north side of the circle, and the Plain Chatham Arch meets in front of the Athenium building where the Rat's Keller is.
Okay. Now, do you guys have Lori Sankowski, a member of your group there? She was the author of Haunted Indianapolis or something like that came out a couple years ago?
Lori and Carrie are great.
They are. I worked with them with the Indiana Ghost Trackers when I was with them.
We've had a lot of discussion. We've tried to get together to do ghost hunts together, and none of our schedules have seemed to work out. But that was a fantastic book, and we have not done tours with them in the past. It'd be fun to do something with them, though. I would really welcome them.
They have their own tour thing going too, I think, right? The Haunted Circle City or something like that.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure.
I know I spent when I was with the ghost group, I did a lot of TV interviews and stuff down in Irvington. And I remember, I forget the guy's name, but let's see here. I got the book right here. Irvington Haunts, Haunted and Infamous Irvington by Russ Simnick and Alan Hunter. And I remember we did that, we promoted that book on Fox 59 AM one morning, and I got to go to the H.H. Holmes murder house, or the house that's built there on the property. And I was in the basement, and Sarah Snow, the Fox reporter, and everybody was out back, and they were looking and taking some pictures, and I got an EVP there that said, "Let me go." And they played it on the air or whatever. It was just amazing, amazing little house there. It's still there because I was looking to buy a house out that way, but they want so much money for these little small houses out there. And Irvington's a beautiful community, but it's not that – it's only about, what, 4 or 5 blocks, and then it's pretty nasty around there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can say that. You can get that in a lot of different places in Indianapolis. I have some friends that live in Irvington, and they said that they completely overpaid for their house.
Yeah, we looked at a house out there. It was like a 2-bedroom, and it was allegedly haunted. And I was like, oh, I got to have it, you know. And they wanted like $130,000 for this little bitty house, and it wasn't even over 1,600 square feet. And it was, you know what the houses look like out there.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of money for not so much house.
Yeah, and they wanted, just because it had the historical Irvington plaque on the side of it, that's what they wanted me to pay for, and I just couldn't do it. So we bought a house out on the south side of Indianapolis. It was built in the 1940s. Unfortunately, no ghost so far, but that's okay. I'm okay with it. Maybe I can import some ghost in the house. I don't know. For the price I paid, the difference, I can bring my own ghost. That's okay.
we'll just go out on the hunt for him there, Sean.
Yeah, I'm surprised
After you hunt for him, just say, "Hey, every party back at my house."
Yeah, party back at my house. But you guys, so how many years you guys been doing the tours? 10 years now.
Yeah, just about.
Now, have you considered doing the candlelight or the lantern light? Now, I know they do that at Gettysburg, and I really dig that. That was really cool at night.
Go ahead, Michael.
We did talk about it, but we saw it in some other towns and cities. I think the Indianapolis Fire Department wasn't really up for open flames, so
right.
we do the whole electric lantern and have some experiences with that too, which are pretty good.
Yeah, and in Indianapolis, the areas that we go to on our walking tours, unfortunately, are pretty well lit. So.
Right. Yeah, if you stay downtown, see, I used to be a Marion County Sheriff's deputy. And I had to walk the streets downtown. That was my first job. And I would, you know, the people that slept on the street and stuff, I'd have to make sure that they were gone by morning when the business people came in, the suit and ties to their businesses. But, you know, I would be out there on the streets at night. And Indianapolis has definitely got a spooky feeling to it at night, down those back corridors and those back alleyways, behind those huge buildings. And it's I could definitely see a lot of ghosts downtown.
Absolutely. There has been a lot of, in the past, the murders and the gangs and things like that, not current day, but early on in the early 1900s, they had gangs as far back as shortly after Indianapolis became a city. And there's a section over near White River, where White River State Park is, it used to be called Shantytown, and there was a section of it called Bucktown, and that's where all the gangs hung out. And when they came into the city, they used to wreak havoc. And there was actually one headed by a guy named David Buck, and it was actually called the Boo Gang. And there is an alleyway in Indianapolis that is off of Meridian Street where his apparition is seen like in a residual haunting, killing one of the local patrons of a bar.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, I read a story on the on the show last week that was in that I had found, and it made national headlines actually, and it talked about they had witnessed, they didn't name the city or the building, but I'm thinking it was the city county building. They had witnessed a apparition in the parking garage, and it wards off guys that were trying to attack ladies or purse snatchers, whatever. It seems to appear whenever there's any kind of trouble, any kind of things that happen to people that's bad, he seems to show up. That's a newer story. I just heard about it last week.
Yeah, that's a new one on me. That's pretty cool, though. The city county building is haunted, but the story that I heard.
The elevator.
The elevator. And I haven't heard about the person who's trying to ward off bad things happening, but that's good.
You know, I used to take inmates down that service elevator to City County Building. And when you get down there, there's a long tunnel that takes you to lockup underneath the City County Building. And the lights, they would always flicker and flash because it's really old down there. And, you know, I always thought about that ghost story when I was down there, because at night, that's a spooky building to be in.
Mm. I can believe that.
Now, in traditional G&D fashion, we wanted to have Sean go out and try to snatch someone's purse, but, you know, it just didn't work out. It's,
Can't do that. But you guys...
It would be really interesting to set that up and see what happens.
It would. But I'd end up getting Billy clubbed to death and being the CNN the next day.
But what great radio that would make, Sean. What great radio.
It would.
Come on, take one for the team.
I could report from the other side. But have you guys got any future plans for the, I'm sure you do, for the tours and everything? Any new exciting stuff going on?
We always like to try to refresh our tours, and we are putting together an Evansville tour. We've been working on a Fort Wayne tour for a couple of years, well, more than a couple of years, but... the Evansville one is next on our list, so we're really happy. We just debuted the Madison County bus tour in March, and we sold out two tours in 2 weeks, and then we've got a third one that's filling up for September.
Nice. So, do you guys do these tours weekly?
It really varies. Last year we did them almost every weekend, and then we decided we'd like to be able to actually go out and do some ghost hunting. So
yeah.
we've cut back a little bit, but we've offered a variety of different tours. So I don't think that, you know, it hasn't hurt our business, and everybody gets to, you know, have their tours, and we still do the private tours as well. So if somebody really and truly wants a tour, they can call us and we can book a private tour for them.
Now, Mark, Nicole, do you have, like, locations that you can take people to actually ghost hunt? Like cemeteries
tour or?
Not necessarily during the tour, but if somebody contacted you and said, you know, I'm interested in doing my first ghost hunt, is there a location you can take me to?
We've taken people out before. On most of our tours, we don't go in the buildings unless we've had, you know, we've kind of set up something special with some of the business owners or property owners. And we do that, you know, a few times a year. But as far as taking people out, we've taken them out to cemeteries before, or we've taken them out to different buildings that, you know, depending on what we can get access to at the time.
Well,
and, you know, I fully believe that if somebody wants to learn how to ghost hunt, they can do it. A lot of people are very shy about it, but then an adult education is my daytime job, but so that makes me happy. But the other thing is, if somebody's having a haunting in their house, I really think that they need to be a part of whatever resolution they want out of it.
Sure.
So they need an active role in it as well.
And
now you guys have a couple books out there too, right?
Yes, we do. We have The Haunted Backroads, Central Indiana, and Other Stories, which is just a collection of stories from around Central Indiana and a few from other parts of Indiana that were some of our favorites. It includes the how I actually got started in actually seeing ghosts myself. And then we also have the Encyclopedia of Haunted Indiana, which covers every county in Indiana and all the different types of hauntings. And we're starting a second edition of that book. And then we also have two other books that we're working on, The Ghosts of Westfield, and we're working on a travel log book.
Great, great. Now, if you guys are ever looking for any more tour guides out here in the Indianapolis metro area, I'm available Saturday nights now. Come on.
You know what? That would be fun.
That would be fun. I'd love to do it sometime. I would really love to do it. Plus, I'm not getting enough hours at work, too, guys, so this would be a perfect time to book me.
And,
show, how's that?
I'm applying for a job on our radio show.
You know, times are tough.
Yeah,
times
are
tough, and everybody needs to make ends meet. But, folks, if you want to check out the website, you can go to www.unseenpress.com. That's UNSEENPRESS.com. Nicole and Michael, I mean, there's just so much. How do you cover all this? Now, in general, what areas of Indianapolis do you cover when you take people out on a tour or Indiana?
We do the wholesale district, which is largely downtown south of the Circle. That was another tour that we were starting to work on, was one that covers kind of the northwest side of Indy. But then we also do the Chatham Arch Lockerbie area, which is near Mass Avenue, which is kind of the northeast section of the city.
But basically all our walking tours are about an hour and 45 minutes. We walk about a mile and a half, and have 7, 8, 9 stops depending on each tour where we go out to and see what people can experience as well.
Now, they are walking tours. If somebody shows up and they are in a wheelchair or something, they need to bring their own, like, motorized wheelchair or something to get them around, correct?
Yeah, we've talked with several people that have been in wheelchairs, and we've, you know, downtown, we're basically on sidewalks. There are a couple sections, because you just never know, that the sidewalks sometimes aren't the best.
Right.
And we let them know, you know, it's all flat and everything, and, you know, we can help you up inclines and things like that. But our Westfield tour, it's also on flat ground, but we do go into a cemetery, and it's grass. There's no walkways or anything like that. So if somebody's in a wheelchair, they need to be aware that they're going to have to either go up or down a hill of grass. And, okay, you know, we can help to a point, but they either have to have a motorized chair or they have to have a caregiver with them or something like that.
Sure.
All important stuff to know. Again, folks, check it out. It's unseenpress.com. And, guys, you know, I just wanted to say thank you, folks. You know, it's Nicole and Michael. And, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And you guys want to stay on the line for a second?
Yep, stay on the line with us for a second. And, folks, be sure to check it out. It's, again, unseenpress.com. Nicole and Michael, walking tours, books, Haunted Indiana. And Sean, I don't know what else to say except to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, guys. Special thanks to Nicole and Michael Kobrowski from the Historic Indiana Ghost Walk and Tours. Definitely go out and check that out. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums, because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And don't forget, in 1 minute on the bio channel, you will be able to check out the Pennhurst and Manchac Swamp episode of Extreme Paranormal. I know I will be checking that out in 1 minute. And
you can see me pre-visectomy.
That's right. And join us next week, which will be June 20th, for another great Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. When I have a guest lineup, Sean. I just got to confirm it. So,
whee! Pow.
So on that note, Sean.
Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great week, guys.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just I wanna say to those heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.